you were born in southern Indiana. Can you describe how that influenced the music that you play today? Is there any significance for you in coming back to the state? Do you still have connections here, with family, friends?
Yeah, I was born in Columbus, Indiana, technically, but lived in Bean Blossom, Indiana, in Brown County for my first 10 years. I still have family down there. My grandparents are both still living on the family farm, I definitely, my roots do feel like they go all the way down to southern Indiana. But yeah, I think that getting your question about the musical roots and how that may have influenced the music living in Indiana, I'd say two big ways. My earliest musical influences were really within family, church, and then also, to some degree, the community at large down there. We lived, the town of Bean Blossom, which is hardly even a dot on the map, got a pretty big bluegrass festival. And it's actually home to Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Jamborees. Bill Monroe's sort of the father of bluegrass. Uh-huh. And so from an early age, you know, we were playing in our backyards and we could literally hear the festival going on. We didn't necessarily, you know, my parents weren't big fans of bluegrass, so we didn't go to the festival, but we could always hear it. And so that, I do think that had some amount of influence. But probably even larger than that, my grandfather was a harmonica player, and my dad had three brothers who sang with him, and they had kind of this gospel quartet thing that they would do. And so every Monday night growing up, we would go to the little church in Bean Blossom Mennonite Church, and we would have quartet practice. And so the kids would just be running around making all kinds of trouble in the church while the parents were practicing, and then they would go out and do concerts. So I would say that to me is all very tied to the southern Indiana rolling hills and small country church sort of concerts that we used to do. It definitely still feels like there's something of that that probably has influence, especially in terms of just the sound of what we do now, and the harmonies and the, I certainly wouldn't call what we do any sort of traditional gospel or anything that is directly rooted to that, but learning how to harmonize and learning just the joy of singing together and, putting the vocals, I think, in front oftentimes, which isn't always the case in bluegrass music. Those would be some big influences that I feel like root all the way back to those early days, I guess.
Wake up, darling Corey. What makes you sleep so sound? Those revenue officers are coming. They're gonna tear your steel house down.
Well, making music and really deciding and feeling like there was, it was something I wanted to make more of a career, and the recording side of it was sort of came together with my meeting Jay Lapp, and the first recording project he and I did was what I consider to be my first really serious recording, and that was quite a neat experience for a lot of reasons. It really solidified this relationship with Jay that has gone on to be really important for both of us musically. As well as just a friendship, but the way that kind of started, it was his band, the Goldmine Pickers, was coming through Harrisonburg, and I was friends with their at the time bass player Derek Crosser, and they asked me to just kind of open up for a show they had here in Harrisonburg, so I went there, and I had met Jay once or twice before that, but we had never really played together. And so I was going to do my opener, and I just said to him before I walked up on stage, I said, hey, you know, I knew Derek could play bass with just about anything, and mm-hmm. I kind of had the feeling that Jay was pretty much the same way with mandolin and guitar, and I said, hey, guys, I'm going to play here, and I've got some pretty simple songs that we could just do together. I think it'd be fun for you guys if you want to jump on stage, and they both were up for it. And so we had this great little set that was completely impromptu, and after that show, then the Pickers went on to play their set, and afterwards I was talking to Jay, and they just finished their first recording, and I was thinking about recording my stuff, and I talked to him and asked him where they had recorded, and he said, well, actually, that he had recorded it in his studio. So we had a conversation where he basically said, hey, if you want to record something, get up here to Goshen, and we'll do it. And I said, well, you know, I'll have to save some money, and, you know, we'll just see how the schedule work out and everything, and Jay stopped me and said, no, your music's good, and if you can make it up to Goshen, we'll make it happen, kind of letting me know I didn't necessarily have to save a bunch of money, we could figure it out.
All right, you ready, Jay?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Honey bear, come sit next to me. Honey bear, sweeten up my tea. Now we'll drink your honey down.
Through that, we've talked about, well, someday we're gonna do something more. We'll do more duo shows, and we've had a few duo tours. We've toured to Ireland and a couple times last year, and we toured kind of through the Midwest, starting here and going up through Indiana and going out to Kansas. We've done those kinds of things a couple times as well, and we decided, if we're going to keep doing this, we really need to do an album, just the two of us, and kind of make it Trent Wackler and J-Lab album, and so we put together Adriana Valentine, and...
I don't want to tell you stories if there are no happy ends. But I